Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. We're back again for another week, covering many different topics in ham radio and dragging my wife along for the fun. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, Leia, you had your first experience on HF about a week ago. Oh, by the way, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good, yeah, good. It's been a week. It was a particularly crazy day today.
We almost set the house on fire
that
yesterday.
That was yesterday.
When I say we, I mean me.
You, specifically. You were trying to make simple syrup.
I tried it again today without burning down the
house.
Well,
I mean, you successfully made the simple syrup.
Yes.
I just
happened to go on a walk.
Kept it going. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And then midway through the walk, what's that beeping that sounds like our fire alarm?
Is that coming from our house?
Is that our house? And then I've got the dog. I'm dragging the dog behind me as I'm running to the house. And there was smoke everywhere, but it was like safe. It was never on fire.
Right.
So that would have been bad because it would have caught the covers on fire.
The kids were like, it smells good in here.
Oh, God, it smells horrible. It smells like burnt sugar. But ham radio, HF, it's a week longer since you made those contacts. You feel any different about it? Still feel pretty cool on the ham radio thing? I wanted to touch in out of the gate.
About the HF experience.
Yeah, specifically.
I don't know.
Five contacts. I was just curious if anything changed, like if you thought about it since then.
I was thinking about how much work goes into trying to make HF contacts.
Well, you didn't have any problem making HF contacts. Your voice just pulled everybody in.
Well,
it's harder for me.
Okay, so I do have a couple of thoughts. The first one is the FT8.
Yes.
I totally understand why people think that's cheating.
Well, okay, all right.
Because
I wasn't even bringing up this topic, but okay, wow.
And I think, I mean, it's fine. I guess I don't understand FT8 well enough, but you're not really talking to people in FT8,
yeah.
Right?
No, your computers are talking.
Computers
are talking.
So.
Oh, jeez, I did it again.
And I think I actually like the experience of talking on a repeater a little bit more.
Why?
Well, because you hit up a repeater, there's probably somebody already there, and you're expected to have a conversation rather than this contact mill, right?
Any and both is true, I would say. We happen to live in an area with really good repeaters.
Mm.
Lots of people live in an area with repeaters that just aren't being used. They're silent, they're dead. Or worse, they're just a cliquey group of people's own special party line, and they don't like other people talking. So we live in an area that is really, really good.
Well, repeaters are expensive to own and operate, right?
Yeah. I mean, relatively so. A club could easily put up a repeater without much problem just based on their dues and stuff like that and have money left over. Not a big deal.
Hmm.
But HF doesn't have to be about the contacts. You can just get on HF and talk to people. Like you can have friends that can just meet up on a frequency and just chat it up.
Okay. I want to try that next.
Okay. Do you have any friends that are on radio that we can get on the air with you?
Can I just use your friends?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Oftentimes, though, when we do like a net, right, on HF on Fridays.
Okay.
Friday net.
Oh, there is a YouTuber who's doing a trivia.
Yes, Kyle.
Yes. And I want to do that this Friday.
You're going to get on the stream?
No, I just
you're
going to
participate in the chat.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Because I likely will be on the stream, I think.
Okay.
That's the plan anyway.
Well, that's not going to work out. We can't both be
occupied. I'll be on the video, fully engaged,
but 100% we have children.
Disconnected from the family. And you just use chat.
Just like a regular Saturday, then.
Just like a regular Saturday, yeah. He uses Kahoot, though, which has a limit on how many people can be on at one time.
Oh.
Kahoot is like first come, first serve. Like if you're in, you're in. But everybody else is like.
What is. I don't even. Probably not going to do it now.
Kahoot is a trivia website that is used by like teachers. It's for kids.
Huh.
Like
interesting.
It's presented in a way that's more kiddish, kid friendly.
And do you think it's going to be regular trivia or is it going to be ham radio trivia?
It's all ham radio trivia.
Oh, I take it back. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean. I know you've got me just teaching everything I know, but you're not the best pupil when it comes to this area. I gotta tell you. It's not my fault, is what I'm saying here.
I don't know. I mean, I'm generally a pretty good student.
I know,
yet,
right?
This.
I know.
So I might just blame the teacher.
Yeah, I believe part of the blame is mine. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for joining us here on the Ham Radio Crash Course. We've got a bit of a show lineup like we like to walk through. So we kick the show off by saying a big thank you to everybody who gives us a review over on iTunes or wherever you podcast.
Thank you for 5-star reviews.
Thank you for 5-star reviews. Why are we saying that? Well, we've got a spicy one in the mix here this week. So really quickly, let's go through some of these. And we got a really good number. We got 6 reviews since last week,
really?
Which is fantastic. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Not Your Father's Podcast.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
You know what? I love reviews. I don't know what it is. It's
well, because they're all very nice to you, except for this one that we'll be doing.
You know, the other thing is that when you are using a podcast format, there's just not a really easy way to communicate. So I really
like... Podcasts are so difficult to understand. As a podcaster, I don't...
Oh,
it's all
so
black
many.
Magic.
It's...
Like, I'm going to read the tea leaves to figure out how many people listen to the podcast. Hold on, I got to go get my tarot deck to figure out what my analytics are like. I give YouTube a lot of hell for, like, the bugs and some of the
Their
clunky interfaces.
Are amazing.
Their analytics are leaps and bounds above anything that podcasting is doing. And I think that's largely because it's all in-house. They know all the numbers because it's all there.
Podcast hosting is so decentralized.
It's so decentralized. Yeah. It makes it very difficult.
So, like, when we are able to read these iTunes reviews, it feels like a feedback loop. But I love getting emails, too.
Oh, that's, yeah. We'll hit those here shortly.
Right. It's a conversation.
Yeah. And thank you for the conversation, yes. Everybody listening. So Not Your Father's Podcast from KC9CSC says, I enjoy listening to many amateur radio podcasts, and there are a good many of those. That's my comment. But it's always a joy when this podcast pops up in my stream. Leia and her sidekick, Josh, produce a ham podcast that's unlike any other out there. This show is lighthearted and funny, sometimes borders bizarre, but it's always informative. I love the new segment, Iron Chef Corner, or as I call it, HRCC-ICC. I learned so much about the drama surrounding Bobby Flay jumping on the counter. I mean, who does that, right? Keep up the great work.
I think that's exactly what I said.
So we got a binge-worthy from Mingo21, another 5-star. Thank you, Mingo.
Aww.
I love the content, banter, humor, and tangents. My new favorite podcast. Thank you. All right. Excellent and friendly resource for ham radio, says Cloud Bedrock. I've been re-engaging with the hobby after being away for years. In attempting to find out what's changed has occurred since my absence, I came across the YouTube channel and now the podcast. This is what ham radio is about, sharing knowledge and being friendly. Kudos. Job well done. Jim KD8MTY. Thank you, Jim.
These are so nice. Thank you.
Okay, well, here's a combo breaker. Just okay, says Finian24 with an exclamation point.
I get it.
Leia and Josh spends too much time talking about their personal life.
How dare we at our
Leia
kitchen table?
Tries too hard to be funny. There is very little ham radio talk, and when you talk, you easily get sidetracked. I do respect Josh's knowledge, though.
These are all things that are true.
They're all true.
I can't.
Except
argue.
I think you were genuinely funny. I don't think you're trying. Living my entire life with you,
yeah.
This is exactly how you are.
This is,
there is no attempt at humor. You are as funny now as you have ever been.
Oh, that's also nice. That's like a glowing review from you.
From you. From yeah. 5 stars. 5-star wife.
And you know,
tune in next week to see if that changes.
You know, last week I was really hammering this about trying to stay more on topic with ham radio.
Yes.
Because
I hit you right out of the chute this time. I wasn't even intending to do that, but I did want to hit you blind with the HF questions. But
yeah.
Continue your thought.
So when we started this, I was like, what am I doing on a ham radio podcast with you? This doesn't even make sense. I'm totally unqualified.
Finian 24 with an exclamation point agrees with you.
Yes. So I feel you. I feel you. And, you know, after we record every single podcast, mm-hmm. Josh is like, that was a good one. And I'm always like, I don't know.
Every time.
I don't know if anybody's going to enjoy this.
Leia is very hard on herself, I think.
But I think that the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
Is because Josh wants me to get licensed. And he has successfully kind of gotten me there. I'm thinking about
this
when
is like
my
4D level chest you're giving to me right now. Yeah. I just thought it was a good way for us to do something together that's like a productive project instead of just sitting in front of the television.
That's true. That's good too.
You know what I mean?
Now we're just sitting in front of microphones.
But we're talking.
Yes.
Instead of like grunting at each other while watching the television while also watching our phones.
I think you're being way too hard.
Watching the large screen while also watching the little screen. The big internet.
As many screens as we can.
What is going on the big internet?
Between us and the wall.
I'm tired of the big internet. What's going on in the small internet? As I like to refer to it.
But in your case, you also have the medium-sized internet.
I have an iPad, an iPhone, and then the television going. When I decide
sometimes
to consume.
Sometimes a laptop.
Sometimes a laptop, because sometimes I edit the podcast. Yeah. Yes. I have a lot of screens. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of this, but...
You need blue light glasses, I think.
I have them at work. I use them at work. My eyes do get tired. I can feel it right now, actually. It was a long day at work. A lot of... this is a tangent. Forewarned, Finian 24.
So we apologize,
tangent.
Finian.
I spent a lot of time in front of a whiteboard today. I haven't done that in a long time. I had an actual meeting in a meeting room.
With people?
Three people total.
Why
big
didn't you
ass
tell
room.
Me this?
Big, 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 big room. We weren't close to each other at all.
I still think you should have quarantined when you got home.
I'll be in the ham shack for the next 14 days. Good luck with everything. Goodbye. Goodbye, family.
Just leave my
You mean
at
to tell
door.
Me all I had to do to get 14 days of uninterrupted ham radio time? I'll sleep in a hammock in the garage.
This is such a lie. I don't even know why you say things like this. You are somebody who has to be so comfortable.
I'll sleep in a hammock. I've done it.
For 14 days.
Yeah, well, we got to try it at least once.
Yeah.
All right. So podcast 5-star. Good title. Love it. From Bama15X'S.
Nice.
Fantastic job. So great being a new ham to see you guys having fun and just conversing about the hobby and the lifestyle between a husband and a wife. Hilarious. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's nice to see Leia. It's nice to see Leia allowing Josh to be on her podcast so much. 73 and thank you from KX4ZC.
I think it's so funny when people call it my podcast.
I know. I also laugh at this. I find this hilarious. This is a good one. Great travel companion from Big Duke 6. All right, Big Duke. Listen to several of the latest podcasts on a 6-hour... That's why he's Big Duke 6. He is on a 6-hour drive. Round trip from home QTH to Burlington. What's QTH mean, Leah?
No idea.
It's Q code means your home location. The
oh,
location
really?
From where you're transmitting.
For?
It's QTH, Q code. There's a whole three-letter acronym. They're not acronyms, but three-letter code that'll
they
start with a Q.
They just made up three letters?
They didn't make... I mean, these are all real letters. They didn't make up...
No, I mean, they just put out together three strings.
Yeah, but they all start in Q. Like QSL, QSO, QSO.
Yeah, why is it a Q?
It's for C. It's all, so it originated from telegraph, Morse code.
Okay.
So if you were in Morse code, it's a lot easier to say... Instead of saying my home location is my QTH, Los Angeles,
but
California.
Why Q?
I don't know.
Is that
somebody
the easiest,
probably knows?
Is that the easiest letter to type?
No,
in?
Far from it. It's four dahs and dits.
Whew.
Yeah, so not easy.
Mm.
But maybe that's because Q's so rare, so it jumps out at people because you really don't use Q that often. That's probably what it is. But correct me, somebody send me a message, or email Leia@hamtactical.com if you know the answer.
Please always tell me things that Josh doesn't know or that he's wrong about.
Oh, is that what we're getting ready for in the next segment?
No, but those are some of my favorite emails.
Yes, you mentioned that in a previous podcast. It's my favorite when people tell me about how Josh is wrong. I love him, but I love it.
Imagine living with him.
Imagine living. Yeah, it's probably not wrong. So, Big Duke's on a 6-hour trip from his home QTH in Burlington last weekend. Thanks for keeping me company. Always catch the live stream. And Leia has a great natural voice for broadcasting. Oh,
aww.
And you're okay too, Josh. Scott from K1RTO. Fantastic.
Thank you guys so much. These were good.
Thank you very much for the reviews. And yeah, if you want to give us a review, we read off of iTunes. It's kind of the easiest place for us to catch them. They have the easiest way for us to read reviews.
Yes.
Every other system is obnoxious.
It's like, where did they go? Where did the reviews go?
You have to go into like each episode to pull the reviews out. It's very difficult. I don't understand. But now it is time for Leia's Corner, where Leia reads some of the emails she receives from the previous week. Right now.
I am so excited to read this.
Leia at hamtactical.com.
Hang on, let me...
So this is a blind interchange. I do the comments. Leia doesn't read the comments.
Yeah.
Leia gets the emails. I don't read the emails. So this is always fun.
Okay. I got an email from
you have the biggest smile on your
female
face.
Right?
Awesome.
General.
In what branch of the military?
No, a general class.
Yeah. Okay. It's probably it the says, Air Force.
No, she's not a general. She's a general class. Is that what you call a general class?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew what you meant.
Okay. But she could be a general.
Maybe she's a general general.
I bet there are a lot of general generals, actually.
I bet you there's not.
Really?
Well, there's not that many generals.
Oh, you know, are a lot of astronauts...
Yes,
hams?
A lot are, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they got to have like one on board at all times in the ISS or something like that.
There's this female astronaut that I follow on TikTok, and I wanted to reach out to her to see if she was a ham.
Okay.
And I didn't, like, it's hard to tell how popular somebody is on TikTok. Do you know what I mean? Unless you're going to their profile.
I was going to say, don't
and
you just go to their
verified.
Profile? Okay.
Right, but early on, because TikTok's really in its early stages.
Yeah.
So people who have reputations somewhere else are just starting to join over the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to tell if somebody is very popular outside of TikTok and you just can't tell by their sub numbers.
Oh, like if they
yet.
Have another social media influence
right,
kind of driving
right.
it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I didn't know how big she was, but I thought it would. She teaches science and other space-related information
cool.
on TikTok that's
oh.
geared towards kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, that's amazing. Maybe you could have her on the show and
ooh.
Talk about, you know, how ham radio works on, like, as an astronaut. Like,
okay.
how they teach them, what kind of equipment they're expected to be able to use. And
well, no, we already
like
we talked about it a little bit on one of the shows. There are radios on the ISS.
Right.
In fact, there was a whole news story that I read
about.
But not
from an astronaut. You're not an astronaut,
that's
buddy.
True. I am not complaining. I like I will need their contact info after.
Ben did say today that during our nighttime, we started talking about satellites.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was talking about like planetal orbits, and I was saying how satellites kind of work the same way. You get them into orbit so
yeah.
that it works off of the same gravitational pull. And he's like, Daddy's not going to go into space, is he?
No. No, son.
And then he's like, I never want to go into space, and I don't want Daddy to either.
No.
And I'm like, Daddy's too old to go into space. And
wow. Shots fired. I believe there are astronauts that are older than me, by the way.
That started much younger, though.
Of
I
course.
Mean,
yeah, no. Yes,
pre-established.
Yes. Yeah.
No rookie astronaut
I don't wanna,
starting right now.
I don't want to do another tangent, but
this is
the Big Bang Theory with the one Big Bang theorist who
yes.
goes into space. That
right.
whole story arc, so frustrating.
Yeah, impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah. I mean, you have
I
to
don't
be
like
so
that show.
Fit.
I don't like that show to begin with, but that story arc, I was like, this is BS.
Yes.
This is all BS.
Yeah, you didn't like that show at all.
No, I could not unhear the laugh track.
But to bring it back to that astronaut.
Yes.
That she got her own show on Netflix.
Oh, my God. Yeah, contact her, please.
Yeah, that's going to be really fruitful.
Not to have her on my show, but
yeah.
see if I can be on her show.
Can I be on your children's science show, please?
And talk about radio.
Yeah.
Come on. And how it
that's probably not something that's pitched to her every day.
No.
She's a particularly beautiful astronaut, too. She is very attractive. Like
okay.
So I understand. She's the whole package. She's very personable.
Mm-hmm.
She's an astronaut. She can teach. It's
like a quadruple threat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, back to the email. Hi, Leah and Josh. I recently stumbled across Josh's videos on YouTube while I was studying for the general exam. I thought that they were really helpful in explaining concepts to me so I could actually understand them. I'm a nurse. She's a nurse, not a general. See, let's just clear. She could be a general and a nurse, I guess.
Oh.
Let's not limit people.
Right.
Okay. None of this is my thing. My husband is a ham, got the first two licenses on first shot and an extra a year later. He primarily only uses HF, so that was the only exposure I had and my driving force in doing any of this. So this is a thing that many husbands talk their wives into.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. It's impressive.
Not all of them create a podcast, though, just to...
Diabolical.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So Josh mentioned having a podcast, and I was scrolling through them on Friday and saw a new one had just come out. I was so excited to see one with you trying to learn for a test. They're actually all that. They're all all of them are me trying to. Okay. So I just got my tech a month ago.
Oh.
Listening to you two. Oh, she's not a general yet.
Mm-hmm,
okay, got it now. Listening to you two would have been like listening to us. We are early 30s, have a 7-year-old, and finding other people and another woman close to us in age doing this is so awesome. She says, I don't know how old you guys are, but you're clearly not 80.
That's true. True.
I love the banter and humor and the tangents. I was driving, and the hour went so fast listening to you guys. My daughter, who turns 8 tomorrow... Happy birthday to your daughter. Just started cyber school from home this past week. She had to do a placement reading test that I wasn't allowed to do with her, and it made her cry the first day of school. I can't believe this they're doing placement tests on the first day of school.
That's insane.
I mean, there's not even a time to get acclimated and learn to trust your teacher. And
I mean, this is the first time in the classroom for many people.
Yeah, so they think that every day is going to be like that? Oh, that's terrible.
That was a
that's
joke. Leah. The classroom's their bedroom. That was a joke I was going for.
There. Oh, okay. Virtual classroom. I mean, no, it feels I know.
I'm just kidding.
They didn't finish it. The next day reset, so she had to do it all over again, and she cried the second day,
oh,
too.
Oh, my gosh.
This is so sad.
I'm telling you, the way they're handling these tests is ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean... So she goes on to say that COVID sucks and that she loves the podcast and that she hopes I stay on it, which is so nice.
Good. I told her
if,
to say
if
that.
If Finian has anything to do with it, though, I'm
that's
out.
That's it.
I'm out.
You're out.
Yeah. She's looking forward to more female-geared ham tactical shirts. I do have a few.
You do?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think maybe they're just not hitting the thing. My imagery is maybe not.
I think your market is just kind of small. Your potential market is small.
I do think I'm going to start making kid shirts, though, because I just really like the idea of kid hams.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
She took hers yesterday and passed.
Congratulations.
Thank Josh for me.
Oh, thank
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations. She is Megan. So her call sign's interesting, actually, and I was going to ask you about this.
Okay.
Because her call sign is KC3PXY/AG. Mm-hmm. What is the slash?
AG?
Yeah.
Isn't that amateur general?
Oh, so she just passed the general. She is a general.
Oh.
And she got her tech a month ago.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I'll explain that. When you get your technician license, mm-hmm. you cannot start transmitting until you get your call sign from the FCC.
Okay.
So, right, if you pass the test and you haven't heard back from the FCC, what would you use on the air?
Your call sign.
Right. Todd would be out there using my call sign. So when you get your technician, you get your license. When you upgrade to general, you can immediately start using the general privileges, and you just have to add slant AG to your call sign until the FCC updates the database with your new privileges.
Oh, okay.
So when you bump into a ham that undoubtedly looks you up and you're on HF talking,
yeah,
and they're like, wait a second, this says you're a technician.
get off my band.
Get off my band. You give your call sign with a slant AG, so they know that you just passed the test, like you're a brand new general. Gotcha. In fact, a lot of people who go out on the bands and they call CQ, even Simplex, VHF, UHF stuff, and if they give their call sign slant AG,
right,
people will come back to them and congratulate them on getting there. Yeah, they know exactly exciting. What it is. And then AE is amateur extra.
Well, huge congrats, Megan, and thank awesome. You so much for the email. I also got just a straight link. No, there's no body to it. It's from Michael Demerit.
This is a phishing?
It's no. it goes to Reddit, so I knew it wasn't a phishing. Oh, no, but I have my, hold on.
Let me... It was a Reddit post about us?
No, no.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't go there. We're just talking about how certain areas of Reddit are not safe.
It's just 1,800 Finians.
It says, I saw this King of the Hill clip and thought of my fellow amateurs and their quest for antenna placement. And it's Dale from King of the Hill trying to put up an antenna. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm not gonna play it.
This is good. Yeah. Good visual.
Yeah, it's Dale with a cigarette.
Yes.
Yeah, and dangling that's the antenna? Out of his mouth, and he's trying to erect a Yagi on his roof.
Okay.
Yeah, that was that email.
Okay. Well, thank you for that email. That was good.
And then I got some a really good merch idea that we had talked about before, and it was challenge coins that had the HRCC logo on it, but then the other side, a soda button.
Soda button.
Man, challenge coins are not easy to get made in the U.S.
And you usually have to buy a decent chunk.
Yes.
You don't buy like five.
Right.
You'd have to buy like a lot to bring it might the price
be,
down.
It might be pretty cool something to give the patrons.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we're approaching numbers stickers. Like that where you could probably run like 100 of them or more. And do something with that.
So that idea is from Matt. Okay. So Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Good idea.
And then Finian. Is that
Finian? What? Finian.
Is that the same person who left a review?
Maybe. Finian 24.
So that's a very unique name, Finian.
Yeah.
But he sent me a t-shirt idea.
It says, get off the podcast. Leia, get off the podcast.
That'll be the day.
No, she's never getting off Finian. You don't understand my wife. It will become her show. I'll be gone.
I'll just be posting.
She's not even talking about ham radio, and it's the Ham Radio Crash Course podcast. I'll be dead for who anybody knows.
Why would I kill you in this scenario?
I'm just, again, I like to take it to the like deepest.
That's so dark.
I mean, it's extreme. It's not dark. I go to the
pandemic.
Extreme.
I don't think you should make jokes about dying. Right.
Well, I did. I was in a conference room with people this week.
This is what I'm saying.
She almost knocked her iPad off the table with throwing her hands in the air.
So it says, I have a shirt idea. Why don't you have a shirt that says in quotes, keep it legal with Josh's name and call sign under it with HRCC logo in the back?
That's not bad.
You do say keep it legal.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it going to get made?
It could be fun. Like, am I on it? Like my face?
I'm really trying to hold back on putting your face on shirts.
That's probably a good idea.
I just don't think the photos translate well to screen printing or t-shirt printing. That's probably true. And I would be concerned about putting your call sign on a shirt that everybody uses because it would make it appear as though they are Josh, call sign, KI6NAZ.
Right. This is true.
So we're going to think about a keep it legal shirt. And Finian, if you're actually interested in a shirt made by me,
yeah,
so horrible, you will get one for free if the keep it legal.
there you go.
Yeah. Jerome, who created the idea for the take the CW pill shirt.
Yes.
And he's getting 1 cent to him.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerome. He came up with another shirt idea.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's just going to keep sending him.
He knows how to work this system.
But it's he drew a mock-up.
Oh, well, see, I like that level of effort.
Yeah,
that's
it's
nice.
Very good. And it's like a male figure and a female figure both holding handy talkies that says 6 mile, and there's an arrow between them, and it says social distance.
6 meter.
It says 6 mile. In
six
this
mile?
One.
Oh, 6 miles for the handy talkie. Okay, I get it now. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good idea, but I am trying to refrain from making anything COVID related.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't really want to create merch that appears to be capitalizing on the pandemic.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a really good idea, though. It is. So I appreciate that, Jerome.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good idea.
Alrighty. That's the emails.
Oh, very good. Good set of emails.
Yeah.
So that means it is the time of the day where you pull out the test.
Oh.
And you
yes.
continue.
This is the time where we actually stick to ham radio content. Am
That's
I right?
Right. Am I right,
Finian?
I would like to say that we interject a lot of ham radio through the podcast. And obviously there's the topic at the end that's usually ham radio focused. So I don't know. I feel that sometimes people maybe are tuning off early. And they're not getting through.
Sure.
Which, me saying that as someone who's producing the podcast makes me think, well, why don't I have the other fun stuff in the front? But hey, you know, it's what we went with.
I don't know what other ham radio podcasts sound like, mm-hmm. but I feel like this format's not an uncommon format for podcasts where you're talking about a topic, but...
You are absolutely right. And we are... So different from any other ham radio podcast that exists. So very different.
But like, I'm on the Discord, right? I'm in...
The Discord is unlike any other social group, social media on all of ham radio.
Because everybody will be talking about all kinds of things from like what they're doing to...
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I know. That's for a reason.
It's a real community.
It is.
You
indeed.
Know?
Yeah.
So I didn't really think that it would be that big a deal to talk about Iron Chef. I'm so sorry.
Tune in next episode for the next HRCC-ICC discussion.
Yeah. I could talk a long time about Iron Chef. I think I watched every episode.
I watched the original. I didn't like the remake.
Yeah, that's what you said last week.
I'm just really serious about it. Like, I'm really... I was salty when it came out. Like,
yes,
I was not okay with it. I thought it was not offensive, but I thought it was like, what are we doing? Like, just what are we doing, guys? Winning formula.
Why must we ruin everything with a remake?
I know. I hate it.
Like they did with Mulan.
There's some salt.
Okay. So I am now on question 5 of 35.
Mm-hmm.
My score last time was 21 out of 35.
21 out of 35. You missed it by, what was it, 5, 6?
I don't know.
Okay, doesn't matter.
But
because you're
going
to do better this time.
I think it was actually, 21 was better than the first time I took it.
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm getting better by a couple of questions at a time. The pressure's on.
The pressure's on.
What is the FCC Part 97 definition of a beacon? A, a bulletin sent by the FCC to announce a national emergency. B, a continuous transmission of weather information authorized in the amateur bands by the National Weather Service. C, a government transmitter marking the amateur radio band edges. D, an amateur station transmitting communications for the purposes of observing propagation or related experimental activities. D, an amateur station transmitting communications for the purposes of observing propagation or related experimental activities. Because...
Did you answer it? You're giving...
Yes.
Okay. I was like...
I've selected it. It was the correct
You were
choice.
Confident then because you already started to explain it before you clicked it.
Yeah, because
like, whoa, okay.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Already.
Yes.
That there is nothing telling you that you're not on the right bands.
I would just love the concept of some government beacon that's on the band edges. Hark! Avast ye!
You may not pass.
You may not pass. Beyond this line be dragons. Like, so...
like two coconuts clopping together.
Like Where'd you get the coconuts? We found them? You found them in Mercia? Coconuts are tropical. I have to stop, otherwise I'll do the whole diatribe.
I know.
Yes, so the beacon... This is actually really cool. We will do a divergence here.
Yes.
The beacon's super, super cool.
It turns out that the tangents are okay as long as they're ham radio related. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There is a beacon network. Mm-hmm. They are beacons that are scattered all around the world. Okay? And they go on different HF bands.
Okay.
You tune to the single frequency and you watch the website. The website will tell you when one beacon is transmitting. And when the next one is transmitting, and the next one is transmitting, and it hopscotches all over the world, when you start to hear the beacon, that means you're receiving that country.
Oh.
Yeah, it's super cool.
What does the beacon sound like?
It's Morse code. It gives its call sign.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just a beacon that gives the call sign. And I'll show you this website, maybe not today, but I'll show you this website.
Right.
And so you can set the beacon up and you can just listen. And you can listen on 40 meters. You can listen on 20 meters, depending on what time of day it is.
Okay.
The beacons are always going. So you get a really good idea of...
Who you can make contact with?
Potentially, yes.
Huh.
There's also another beacon system. It's called the reverse beacon network. With this beacon... From your home station, you call CQ.
And you got to do everything backwards in CQ. So they have to decode your everything that you type in reverse.
That's right. You call
you
CQ.
You hams love a challenge.
I know. You call CQ and you give your call sign. Then you go to this reverse beacon network and you look up your call sign. And it will tell you all the beacons that heard you.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. And so it will basically give you like a map display of who's picking you up.
Wow.
In CW. So that's one of the reasons why FT8 is cool, because that's what FT8 does. When you transmit, it shows you on a map who's picking up your signal, how far you're getting out. So the technical challenge is the how far can I get my signal out there?
Gotcha.
Yeah, and how well can I pick it up? So great question. That's a good one.
And also the FCC doesn't announce national emergencies on the amateur bands, do they?
No.
That's, I mean, and the weather station also does not do that.
No.
Right?
They have their own frequencies.
Right. Okay. What electrical component stores energy in an electric field? A, a resistor. B, a capacitor. C, inductor. D, diode. I feel like I have to go study some
Everybody has problems
electrical
with these.
Engineering.
Everybody has problems with electrical components.
Okay, so a resistor reduces the electric flow.
That's a way of putting it.
I'm just going to pick diode.
Mm-mm.
A capacitor.
Yeah. A diode is like a one-way gate. We already talked about this. An LED is a light-emitting diode.
Oh, yes.
It only allows power to flow in one direction. Resistors increase the ohms of the current.
Okay.
A capacitor is built to hold a steady charge.
I'm going to remember this by connecting it to capacity.
Yeah. Or capacitance, which is kind of what that, you know.
Okay,
from.
Weird thing to correct me on, but all right. Why do VHF and UHF signals usually travel somewhat farther than the visual line of sight distance between two stations?
This is a good one, too.
A, the Earth seems less curved to radio waves than to light. B, radio waves are blocked by dust particles. C, radio signals move somewhat faster than the speed of light. D, radio waves are not blocked by dust particles. What's happening here?
Reread it again. And you had like a mosquito flying around you. That's why I was waving.
I know. It's very distracting.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I distracted you. I think you got it, though.
Why do VHF and UHF radio signals usually travel somewhat farther than the visual line of sight distance between two stations?
Okay.
A, the Earth seems less curved to radio waves than to light. B, radio waves are blocked by dust particles. C, radio signals move somewhat faster than the speed of light. D, radio waves are not blocked by dust particles.
So you can reduce down a ton of those questions without even asking, without even knowing anything about RF.
I would just guess A.
Okay.
The Earth seems less curved to radio waves than to light. Because radio signals are not faster than the speed of light.
Technically nothing is.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just point that one out. That's just that's a gimme.
And I don't know what dust particles have to do.
But they gave you the dust particles in both ways.
Right. And normally
so
I would
assume one of them is automatically gone, right?
Right.
So don't let me, that's not me telling you what the answer is. I'm just saying you can get rid of the two.
Yes, the Earth seems less curved to radio waves than to light.
It's light refraction is causing what you view as 2 points distance being shorter than the radio waves can actually transmit.
Gotcha. We got that one, Ryan.
That's a light thing with your eyes, not the radio.
I see. Dust. What a weird question.
Well, I mean, but the dust one was funny because it sounds like radio waves are affected by dust. Well, that means you can see further than the radio. You know what I mean? Like that, you can get rid of those. You can emit two of them easily.
Which of the following actions should you take if a neighbor tells you that your station's transmissions are interfering with their radio or TV reception? You know what?
You don't know what you're talking about, neighbor.
This is...
You don't know science.
I didn't know that this was going to be on the test because real life instances. Uh-huh. A, tell them that your license gives you a right to transmit and nothing can be done to reduce the interference.
Yes.
B, install a harmonic doubler on the output of your transmitter.
Double the harmonics. Double harmonics all the way.
Until the interference is eliminated. C, make sure your station is functioning properly and that it does not cause interference to your own radio or television when it is tuned to the same channel. D, immediately turn off your transmitter and contact the nearest FCC office for assistance.
Immediately.
You know, when I imagine all of this, with the exception of the fee that they're looking at imposing, I feel like the FCC's like, all right, you guys just, we can't use these bands.
You
over
children
here,
that
so
live under the stairs, just, go stop bothering me.
I want nothing to do with you. I just can't seem to get rid of you.
Like, ugh. This was like railroad technology, and you guys kept hanging on to it.
Have you heard of cell phones?
Yeah, the FC Ajit Pai is like calling everybody out. Get a phone.
There's even the internet.
Yeah, hams.
Yeah. Okay, so not D. A just seems like a really rude thing to say to your neighbor. I've got a
license.
Have
I told you about the strained relationship of hams with their neighbors worldwide?
I feel like
neighbor.
I have a very good relationship with our neighbors. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps you tremendously.
There's a shirt for you. Ham Radio Wives, keeping relationships with neighbors intact.
This is too long for a shirt. It's too long.
Okay.
Yeah. I still do hear it and I go, no. No, it's not. You need to contact your cable company.
you need to contact the FCC.
Yeah.
And then you tell them option A.
Install a harmonic doubler.
A harmonic doubler. I want more harmonics.
It's C, make sure your station is functioning properly and that it does not cause interference to your own radio or television when it is tuned to the same channel.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Your neighbor comes to you and says, hey, I'm having problems with this. Well, what problems are you having? It's on this channel, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, go try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you are causing a problem, you know, do what you need to do to fix it. There are things you can do.
Like what?
You can add filtering in and around, well, on your transmit side. You can add it on the receive side of the televisions. They could be picking up the, like we've said, with RFI being transmitted from devices. Well, they can also pick up your transmitted RF and cause interference on the television. So a ferrite not only chokes out the RF coming out of that device, but would prevent your RF from getting into the device.
You've bought some of those nifty ferrite pieces, right? They're really heavy.
Yeah, this is one of them's on the little mic cable here because it came out of my office.
I feel like there's one on like every piece of my electronics in my office.
Everything that doesn't get shut off likely has a ferrite on it.
Okay, which of the following instruments can be used to determine if an antenna is resonant at the desired operating frequency?
Oh, yeah. Good one.
A, an antenna analyzer. B, a VTVM. C, a frequency counter. D, a Q-meter. I would just go antenna analyzer. Yeah.
Look, have that's you like a missed gimme. One? You haven't missed one.
I have.
You did?
I think so.
Okay. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's really coming together.
Well, I mean, let's finish. It's five in.
What is a VTVM, though?
I don't know.
Oh, they just made up.
That acronym? I don't know. It may be very well a thing, but
what's
a frequency
a Q-meter?
I'm pretty sure that's for measuring the Q of an antenna, but I could be wrong. That also I'm not really familiar with. Those are test equipment that I don't have.
You don't need it either. Just
I might. I may.
So let's just really be clear. If you don't, if you don't have it already,
I have that.
You don't need it now.
Okay.
Because you've gotten this far. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing this for a long time. Baby. Yeah.
What is the approximate length in inches of a quarter wavelength vertical antenna for 146 megahertz? This is like a formula I just haven't learned, right?
Well,
it's A 19, B 12, C 50, D 112.
Okay. Do you happen to know what band
146 megahertz?
Do you happen to know what band that is in? No.
20 meters.
Come on.
60 meters.
40 meters is 7 megahertz. So you're taking the technician test. So likely it's a frequency that's in the technician spaces.
Oh, I see. Okay. So
I'm giving you 2 meters on this one. Go with 2 meters.
But what is...
Well, you know everything now.
I don't.
You know everything now.
What is it asking you to do? I know everything. What is the approximate length in inches of a quarter wavelength vertical antenna for 146 megahertz?
Yeah. Now that you said 2 meters, you have everything you need to make a quarter wave antenna. Think about it.
I have no idea.
What is 2 meters?
I don't even have the length of measurement.
The length of what is 2 meters?
The antenna?
No. What is it asking you to make again?
A quarter wavelength.
Okay, stop.
Vertical.
What is it asking you to make?
Oh, is it 50? No. 19? How was I ever going to get there?
1/4 wavelength of 2 meters. That's it. It's that simple. The band is 2 meters. The wavelength is 2 meters. So if someone asks you to make a 1/4 wave antenna on 2 meters, the answer is somewhere close to 1/4 of 2 meters.
How was I supposed to translate that to inches in my head?
Well, 2 meters is like 30. Is how many inches in a meter?
Like 35, 36? I don't know the metric system.
Oh, okay. Well, if you don't know that. Oh, okay. Like,
what are you talking about?
Well, I just always assume it's somewhere around
30. I grew up in America. Don't know anything about the metric system.
Well, okay, let's do simple math. Simple math. It's like, call it 70 inches. What's 1/4 of 70 inches?
All right. I'm moving on.
Okay, fine.
Expecting me to both.
I thought that was easy. Okay, no, I'm sorry.
No, that is, American hams. Turns out you guys had to learn the metric system.
It's a yardstick.
It just doesn't make any sense that you use the metric system in combination with inches.
Well, because then it wouldn't be the 2 meter band. It would be like something inches band.
No, it would be like centimeters.
That's the metric system. Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean, why would you go from meters to inches? That's not even
because
they
ask you to make an antenna in America. Well, it doesn't matter. You wouldn't have been able to convert it if it was in meters anyway. If they would have asked you how many centimeters
it's just moving the decimal though.
Well, that's true.
Whew. You know what?
That one gotcha.
Yeah, jeez. I'm on 11, so I'm already past.
You're good. You're good.
Yeah.
Well, you did a great job up to that last one. But,
but the way that you were like,
I don't know.
You have everything you need to know.
I have everything. I have given you everything.
To convert.
I have given you everything you need. Make it happen. Well, today's episode was going to be, the main topic was going to be on, I was going to ask my wife, like, what would she like as like a beginner radio?
I was just going to get a Baofeng.
No, but I mean, like, we would go a little bit deeper than a Baofeng.
We would?
Yeah.
Would we?
Would I? Probably not.
I mean, I've got a radio in my car. I could just start using that, I guess.
Right. But then Leia had the really good idea of, well, maybe apply it to a broader concept of do certain emergencies.
Oh, this isn't some, like, floaty idea.
No, yeah, this is, like, legit.
Well, because I'm in a prepper group, and one of the things, so as prepping has gotten more popular.
I would say prepping's always been popular. Where have you been?
I think that.
I've been living with you. You've been a crazy person buying extra stuff.
I think that because of the pandemic, people across the entire political spectrum have started looking at prepping, whereas it used to be more of a conservative thing to do.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing a lot more people on the left thinking, oh, you know what? Maybe I do need to stock up on toilet paper.
On toilet paper specifically. What if my whole house was toilet paper?
So, but one of the hot topics is guns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the left, I don't want to generalize, but they're not as pro-2A.
Yeah, they're not as pro-gun.
And so a big post was, does this group have to include guns in everything when you're talking about preparedness?
Yeah.
And the
yes
overwhelming response is obviously,
yes, and
how do you protect your preps?
Right. There was a great episode of the Doomsday Preppers before that show became defunct, where it was a very progressive liberal family. And that was one of the things they were challenged on, was like, you've done all this really good job prepping. They were really good at like homesteading, so they would grow their own food and stuff like that. And they did a really good job. Like, that was all very squared away. But then it came to like the very uncomfortable fact that if you are in a situation without rule of law, how will you protect all this
right.
that you have grown and made?
Hope and a prayer.
And crops aren't that portable.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't just bug out with your corn. So, and they admitted like that was a failure that they had. And, you know, they were very like bats and sticks and stuff like that. And it's like, lol, you know.
Bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. 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 I brought my pointy stick. Who's ready for me? Yeah.
And if the Avengers has taught us anything, a quill of...
I brought 13 arrows.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Well, I killed 13 people. I didn't get a thank you. With my arrows.
So, for me...
Or you're Scarlett Johansson with a Glock.
Right, right.
You're in between Thor, swinging yes. Mjolnir, Captain America... And then I think Scarlett Johansson had like a Glock 26 and she reloads it. It's like, great.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I laughed some of the casting. So hard at that at that shot. I'm like, you are surrounded by meta humans. Some are demigods.
Right.
And you're like, got to reload the Glock. Got to get that hot 9mm mag in there. Oh, man, that made me laugh so hard. Anyway.
So for me,
I didn't expect to talk about guns, but this is refreshing for me. Go ahead.
For me, prepping is about making sure that I've got the things that I need, you know, in case of a grid down, electricity down situation.
Yes. I've always taken the approach of it's good to have likely scenarios that you've right. prepared for.
Right.
And generally, those scenarios can scale with much worse situations.
Right, right. Right.
So you can almost, like, a small earthquake, right? And yes. then you can build up to a week-long power outage.
Right.
And they could be related, right? But you just kind of, like, keep going up the stairs as you get more right. prepared kind of thing.
But it got me wondering a couple of things. So I'm going to ask you first.
Mm-hmm.
This
so Leia is driving the show right now. This is good. This really is Leia's show.
Are there well then I'll introduce you next. Actually, I got that recommendation that yeah. I should introduce you on the does your comms plan or what radios you have change based on the type of emergency it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in an earthquake, do you do something different than an EMP mm-hmm. versus, I mean, we're in a pandemic mini.
Right. right? We're in a soft pandemic right, right. kind of thing.
But like zombie pandemic.
Like if you're able to go exchange money for food.
Right.
Your pandemic is pretty soft.
Right.
Would be my argument.
Yeah.
In an establishment that is not though, based off of rioted goods.
I do know from playing Plague Inc.
Right, right, right.
That this pandemic, this virus, the way it's acting,
mm-hmm.
is most effective at being spread.
Yes.
Right, because it goes undetected for so long while still being contagious. And in the beginning of any pandemic, you really want to reduce the deadliness of your
to
of your
increase
virus.
The spread. Yes,
right,
yes,
right, right.
Yes,
you don't want to kill your hosts.
That's right.
Right, you want to spread it.
I mean, and that's then, that's good virus 101 to begin with. I mean, that's,
right.
viruses live. I mean, there was some kind of argument, some science-y thing I was listening to where they were saying, like, there are some viruses that people just have their entire lives.
Yeah.
And they just haven't killed them.
Yeah.
And they don't really have a lot of symptoms. They just have it.
Sure. But the way that you really win the game is by the symptoms once it has yeah. infected the
everybody
most
infected,
number of people.
And then you just mutate the hell out of it.
Yeah. And then it goes from... you know, just a cough mm-hmm. or some GI distress to like bloody, like you're pouring out blood from your body.
You're a blood fountain.
Or it's giving you cardiac arrest.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll take the first question first.
Or zombieism.
No, we'll get there.
I mean, you know.
You got to wait for me to answer. It's like a back and forth. Kind of like an interview, I guess you could say. Almost. Yeah. So your first question is like your comms plan. Mm-hmm. Your comms plan is going to be your comms plan generally regardless of the scenario you're facing. So if you're in a small community that's not separated by that many miles,
sure.
Your comms plan is going to be use whatever's at your disposal that's working and work through that comms plan. An earthquake. Likely, you may have voice comms go down in the terms of your cell phone.
Sure.
Because it's just too congested.
Right.
Text messaging probably works fine. Right? Mm. Text messaging works when voice comms doesn't in cell phones.
That's an interesting thing that you said, because the last time there was a wireless issue in this area where the cell phone company got hacked, we couldn't use we couldn't use text or voice.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a generally accepted that text will get out when voice doesn't. Okay.
Okay.
So that's like layer one. So
I mean, that's another plan. That's another like emergency, right? If hackers just took down the entire system.
Hacker man. Grid down, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the more extreme ones. So your PACE plan, your primary mode of communication, still probably is your cell phone, right? Right. And that is riding on the backbone of the internet. So that comes along with email, you know,
you've got Discord, full communication,
Facebook. And you have an earthquake. Everybody says, you know, post a picture of my chair that fell over. Mm-hmm. Your comms plan is really not in any jeopardy. So let's say something else happens more serious, though, and you have to rely on
hurricane
your backup. No. Let's stick to, let's lay down the PACE plan first and see if it scales.
Got you. Okay.
So your primary is the internet. Just use what you have, right? Your alternate could be ham radio.
Okay.
Right? Some kind of ham radio. Your handy talkie.
Okay.
You just pick up your handy talkie and say, hey, mind you, the people that you have this PACE plan with, this comms plan.
Yes.
They have to have a commensurate radio to reach you.
Okay.
And know that they need to use channel zero, for instance.
Baofengs for everyone.
So going back to that card, remember the card that I made you with that little radio kit?
Yes.
It says, you know, when you're in trouble, get on channel zero, ask for help. If you don't hear anybody, go to channel one, channel two, channel three. Well, you have to work that out with your comms plan with whatever people you want involved with you.
Okay.
So you get everybody knows when an emergency happens and cell phones don't work, you progress from your primary to your alternate. Okay. Your alternate comms plan is, okay, I will use the ham radio. I'll get on channel zero and I'll say, hey, arm of peeps out there.
Okay.
And maybe the agreement is, like, after the emergency, see if everybody can meet up for 10 minutes. And if nobody's heard, then once per hour, hop on for 10 minutes and listen and call out and listen and call out, right?
Right.
PACE plan. It's comms plan.
Yeah.
It's what you're going to do when you're faced with that situation. So that's called that the alternate. Your contingency could be something simple like a GoTenna mesh device. If you're all within a certain, if you're within a mile of each other, 2 miles, the GoTennas might work if you like go outside, maybe get on the roof or something like that. And that allows you to text via your phone, via the little dongle, no network required.
Okay.
Now your emergency comms plan, I mean, your emergency comms plan could be the old CB radio, right? Hey, I'm going to go dust off the old CB radio and see if I can talk to somebody.
I don't have an old CB radio.
Well, again, this is a comms plan that you would work out with your neighbors. It's going to be what they feel comfortable with. It could be FRS radios. It could be little family radios.
Okay.
Right? Or it could be a Baofeng that's transmitting on family radio because you're the ham, you have a Baofeng, but all your neighbors, they don't want ham radio. They don't want their license yet, or maybe they were studying and they didn't get it in time or something like that. And so they
is that
just have
a jab
a little bit, and so they have FRS radios like Walmart blister pack radios.
Okay,
so that's all for like close in comms, like a mile. Call it FRS radio is horrible outside of a mile. So your emergency scales at that point. If you're grid down, if you're whatever, doesn't really matter. You just keep using that comms plan. The comms plan can get you through most of the trouble. up to a certain point.
Okay.
And then it's like, well, it's not really cutting it anymore. Like an EMP would be an example of that.
Okay.
In that case, if you didn't have your Baofeng in a protective case, then it's likely damaged or possibly damaged. Like if you store it with the antenna on it, it could be damaged in an EMP. So what does that mean? That means that you might have to have a Baofeng that you leave the antenna off of, then you put in some kind of EMP case and leave it protected. And I have a video that I did on the EMP tactical trash can that I called it.
Yes. I still haven't put googly eyes and a mouth on that yet.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
It's coming.
But, you know, the trash can is just the vessel to protect any electronics from an EMP. Okay. You can put anything you want in it. You can put your iPad in there. You can put all your FRS radios in there. You can put whatever you want in there. So that's the comms plan if you just were like, wanted to connect to people.
Okay.
That were a part of your crew, a part of your group, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they are further away, that complicates things.
Mm-hmm.
Because your handy talkies are no longer going to work in that case. Right? Because they're going to be max 5 miles, if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm. And then you're depending on a repeater that may not be functioning. No, but
I'm not even bringing the repeaters into the equation yet. You're likely going to need like a 50-watt radio.
Okay.
Regardless of it being GMRS or ham radio or anything like that, you're going to need more power and likely an antenna that's on the roof.
Okay.
To be able to... So part of it, it's twofold. You need the increased power to get out the 20 miles or so you want to talk to somebody. And you need to also get it up, because the up, particularly on 2 meters and 70 centimeters, as we kind of hinted at with your question earlier today, the higher you get it, the line of sight increases.
Right.
So get that thing up in the air however you need to. If it's a tree that you hoist your antenna up into during an emergency, so be it. That's a thing you could have coiled up and hidden away, whatever. So that's the antenna on the house. That's for like a disaster, right? So you have like an EMP. Well, I've got that radio. I drag it out of my trash can. It's 50 watts. I hook it up to a battery. The antenna was fine, just connected to the feed line, and we're good. We're talking to people. Back to your comms plan. Who can hear me on channel, blah, blah, blah? Anybody out there? Anybody monitoring? Where are my peeps at, right? So that's like earthquakes, grid down. Grid down, though, you may have to splash in some solar to charge your batteries, right?
Because mm-hmm.
you have no grid.
Yeah.
But most
like a Tesla Powerwall?
No. I mean, maybe, but most of the soft disasters are going to float somewhere around the, like, have an alternate to comms being down. If your primary comms, your cell phone is down,
mm-hmm.
How are you going to communicate?
Right.
Right. And so that's where ham radio can fit in. That's where FRS radio can fit in. GMRS and even CB radio will fit into that. Now, when you start, you mentioned like EMP, you even mentioned like zombies and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. So that's a whole different flavor of things. You've commented before, wow, isn't the antenna on the roof a really great beacon to those who might want to come do harm?
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. That's something that people may have to think about when they think about being prepared. Like, what is the level of preparedness and the scenario that you're trying to hit, right, in how you lay out your shack or how you lay out being prepared?
So what if your plan is actually to bug out, right?
Okay.
Because we're in a suburban situation,
mm-hmm.
and the plan is to bug out in a zombie situation. So
you already lost me at the bugging out, but then you say during a zombie situation,
yes.
Like that is a nightmare. No one is going to live. Like everybody's going to die painfully and screaming. Have a nice car. When I say nice car, a nice off-road vehicle that's well appointed with radios, right?
Okay.
That has solar likely, you know, solar on the roof, solar wherever. Mm-hmm. That would be really good, really smart to have.
Okay. What about if it were like a serious epidemic? Does that change?
Would you bug out in an epidemic? We got a soft pandemic and you don't even like going outside.
I guess it depends on how it spread. Like, what we have right now is not easily spread through the air. You have to be within a certain distance of someone.
Right.
But
you don't need to bug out for that then.
Right. But there could be a scenario where it is more aerosolized. And so then the air outside is not safe. There's that movie with Sandra Bullock, I think.
Sandra Bullock?
Is that who it was? Or was it Emily Blunt? Anyways, there's the disease is transmitted in the air.
Oh, are you talking about Bird Box?
Yeah, maybe.
That was not transmitted in the air.
Oh, it was by sound.
No.
No,
it was like this invisible demon thing.
Oh, really?
And if you saw it, you went crazy and you killed yourself.
Oh.
Bird Box is like, I don't even know how you prepare for that. That's you definitely wouldn't be bugging out. They do bug out in that movie.
They do.
And they have to like paint the entire car black, all the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you see the thing, it drives you insane.
Gotcha.
And the only people that can handle seeing it are the crazy. Okay. But they're like psychotic, violently psychotic. It drives them violent. So it's like a zombie and monster movie at the same time.
Gotcha.
It's pretty intense.
So even if you weren't putting a massively obnoxious antenna on your roof.
Is that a jab?
Definitely. I didn't think I veiled it, honestly. So you decide to go with something more discreet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Couldn't somebody potentially use you transmitting as a way to figure out where you are anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, so that could be also part of your comms plan. So your comms plan is once we acquire everybody,
mm-hmm.
once we all get on the same frequency, then we all set our watches and we have a time system that we change frequencies every so often so that we can't get picked up.
Oh, interesting.
So you don't know what frequency I'm going to... I could switch bands. I could go to 6 meters.
Ah.
I could go to 2 meters and then 70 centimeters.
So then in an ideal situation, everyone should be an extra.
No, technicians can do all that.
Oh, well, I guess it's an emergency situation, so no holds barred.
Right? Yeah, no holds barred, but you will have whatever radios you agree based off of the communications plan that you have. Again, going back mm-hmm. to the comms plan, I started out a very simple comms plan.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got a group of people I want to talk to. We started out at 1 mile, maybe 5 miles. We can do with a handy talkie, maybe a handy talkie with a better antenna on the roof. Just mm-hmm. connect your handy talkie to it.
Mm-hmm.
20 miles. Well, 20 miles, now you're dipping into like 50 watt transmitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you say, okay, well, I want to increase security. Well, that's a whole different thing because there's two kinds of security. There's resistance from eavesdropping,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's just people listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And picking up vital information from hearing your transmissions.
So you just need code words to identify things.
And again, I'm going back to the merch, the possible merch. Keep it legal. You can't have coded transmissions when it's not an emergency. You can't have coded transmissions on the ham bands, I would argue. But let's say it's a hypothetical emergency.
Mm-hmm.
You could use some kind of keywords for that kind of thing. Or a saying that you all know what it means. And you keep your discussions to just that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was that Star Trek episode with Picard? Something in Tanagra, the one where they only spoke in verse. Do you remember that one?
I don't.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that's like one of the best episodes.
Was Wesley
Darmok and Tanagra at something or other? Yeah. No?
You should
watch that episode. It's very good.
I'm sure I've seen it. I've seen every episode.
And I'm sure you have, TNG. But this goes back to you not remembering
I do not
what
remember
you watch or read.
Media.
Yeah.
I remember what I read.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if it's like functional, but if you're talking fiction,
Harry Potter? You don't remember tons of stuff.
Yeah, that's not functional.
Okay. So yeah, coded transmissions is one thing, but then you brought up, well, it's not just eavesdropping. What if they're trying to find you?
Right.
So if they're trying to find you, then you have to jump around frequencies. Like a lot.
Hmm.
I mean, there are systems that the military uses specifically to avoid getting DF'd like that. They're called spread spectrum transmitters. There's all kinds of value to spread spectrum, but one of them is that they're harder to direction find, relatively.
So, in your ideal arsenal of radios.
Oh, my arsenal.
Yes.
Yes.
For an emergency, mm-hmm. What is it? How does it run down? You've got your HT. What's the HT of choice?
Well, I mean, I covered this in the EMP video, mm-hmm. with the tactical trash can, but mm-hmm. we can talk about it. And there are some nuances that I mentioned in that video that you can take different off ramps. The HT that I put in that EMP kit is the Yaesu FT2DX or FT2DR, FT2DR. That is the previous generation of my daily radio, which is the FT3DR.
Okay.
It's very similar radio.
Okay. It seems like a redundancy that was unnecessary in your purchases.
Just... Well, I purchased the FT2DR, and the EMP kit is something that you seal up and you don't open it. So I can't very well have a daily driver radio.
You're right. I'm sorry.
How dare I question this? I know, right? Gosh. You have to put it away somewhere.
It's like I don't even understand.
You don't even get it. You don't. Even, you ask these questions and you don't even think about it. I don't know. No. So for that radio, the reason why I went with that radio is because it is not just 2 meter and 70 centimeter for transmit capability. It also transmits APRS packets. Okay. Which is like text messaging via ham radio.
Right.
And if you want to, you can include your GPS location.
Mm.
So you can transmit where you're at. You know, if somebody's hurt, you need help, you know, whatever.
Not good for a marauder situation, though, right?
No, again, and you're going to have to flavor this with the situation, the scenario that you're building up for, right?
Sure.
The other advantage to that radio is that it has broadband receive capability. It will pick up FM and AM broadcast stations. Mm-hmm. It will also pick up shortwave radio stations, which shortwave is HF radio. So if you put the appropriate antenna on it, it will pick up those frequencies, and you can use that as a receiver, as a redundant level of ability of receiving stations in. So it can be part of your emergency preparedness listening capability. For mm-hmm. me, a lot of my radio planning centers around listening. I want an AM/FM radio on while also have my amateur radio on separate receivers, listening to everything, scanning, seeing whatever I can pick up to hear, to gather all the news I possibly can.
Right.
So in my scenario, grid down, you're getting very little news. You're not getting broadcast television, likely.
Right.
You would potentially be getting radio, though. So AM radio, gotta have one. You know, like a Kato. Kato radio, I think we have it linked at the Amazon, the mm-hmm. Ham Radio Crash Course Amazon store. Those are solar-powered, internal solar-powered, crank-powered, and has an internal rechargeable battery. And they will do shortwave, AM, FM, weather, and I think maybe air. I could be wrong. Airband, like airplanes.
Oh.
So, you got to have a bunch of receivers. Nice to have the redundancy baked in that if your receiver dies, you could use your handy talkie.
Okay.
Handy talkie's always going to be on you. You're going to carry that around. But then also in the kit is a 50-watt transmitter for VHF.
Okay. Right?
And then that's an extra, that gets you that longer distance. So we haven't even gotten into HF yet, right? We're just talking the line of sight stuff.
Right.
Which during an emergency, that may be all you need, you know?
I guess it depends on how far spread out your family is.
Well, but, you know, things to keep in mind with that is depending on the scenario you're dealing with, if it's a disaster scenario,
mm-hmm.
HF has a great advantage that you can get your signal out to maybe let your family know that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, There's not a whole lot more it does other than like request for people to bring you stuff. But then at the same time, are they going to put their lives at risk necessarily coming into a disaster zone? You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's like you gotta, it's the old airplane cabin depressurizes example. You got to put the mask on yourself first and then help the child next to you. So your comms plan is for the local stuff first. Mm-hmm. Get your local comms up, get your people, you know, mobilized and all that, and then start adding to how broad your capabilities are. Now, this could be in the order of hours. It could be in the order of days. I don't know. It depends on how bad the scenario is. But you're lined up and prepared for it regardless.
Okay. What do you do if in a situation where things have started getting dire, right? What,
define dire, though.
Resources have started waning.
Okay.
Right. The stores no longer have anything. People are starting to loot.
Okay.
Target
we're talking
homes.
We're talking day two of a widespread power. No. I'm not joking. I'm not lying.
No. I mean, this.
There's going to be no more food after a couple of days if there's a widespread power outage and supply lines are disrupted.
Let's just start on.
Welcome to my mind, everybody.
People, it's such a nice upbeat channel, and it was so. So fun and welcoming.
So fun.
He's talking about rioting in 2 days? What?
I think 2 days seems extreme. I think most people have 2 days worth of supplies in their own homes.
It's not extremely. No, it's not at all. Not at all.
You don't think that people have at least 2 days worth of supplies?
I'm not worried about the people that have a pantry. I'm worried about the people that subsist off of getting food every day.
Okay, fair enough.
If people live on takeout and they live on getting restaurant food, those will be the first people that go to the store to stock up on things they don't have.
Okay.
Supermarkets only have, at best, 2 days worth of their stock.
Okay.
So when it's not on the shelves, stores don't stock up in the back like they used to do. They don't keep a stockpile.
Sure.
Right.
It's inventory turnover is
right
key.
So if you have no supply lines, the power's down, that food in the grocery store is gone in a day or two. Gone.
Okay. Okay.
That was a little intense. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of energy behind that one.
So you now have people that are starting to, you're hearing stories of maybe people starting to loot homes, mm-hmm. starting to target homes. Mm-hmm. And because of the antenna on your roof, somebody knocks on your door mm-hmm. and says, can you help me get in contact with my family? I don't have a way to reach them. What do you do?
Okay. Tell me who your family is. Why would I be able to contact them?
Like through the ham radio.
Okay.
So what do you do?
See if I can help them.
Do you let them in the house?
No, you didn't ask that question.
Okay, well, how does this scenario play out? They've knocked on your door.
How can I help you? I would just ignore them. I wouldn't like...
You wouldn't even answer the door?
I probably wouldn't.
But they're standing outside.
You wouldn't answer the door. Like, you wouldn't open it.
Right, but they're saying through the door, I see you have an antenna on your roof. Can you help me get in contact with my family?
Sure. Okay, so let's say for some reason I respond to them and say, sure. Mm-hmm. Who are your family? How can I reach them?
Okay, and then they say, oh, my family is in Irvine.
Okay.
We're not a easy distance from Irvine.
Okay.
But I'm not able to reach them.
Okay. And do we assume that I've actually talked to somebody during this disaster that's in Irvine that may be able to render aid? Are we talking full riotings going on?
No, the beginnings of you're only hearing that people are starting to target homes for looting, mm-hmm. which I guess in the last civil unrest that happened in the first week.
Yeah, nobody knocked on my door to contact their family.
But I mean, in a scenario where the grid is down, mm-hmm. right? there is no actual way to contact other people. Right. And cities are likely locked down because of, you know, the roads not being accessible.
Yeah. So I tell them, I'll see what I can do.
But what information do you need from them?
Their name, address. I mean, why not a phone number? Maybe I take email too. Because technically, all of that I have at my disposal with ham radio.
But that they don't.
Yeah, okay. But again, like, I'm not opening the door. Like, if that was your big gotcha, I'm not.
No, it's not. It's not my gotcha. I'm just saying, part of the whole thing is helping people, right?
Sure. So that would become something like, give me as much information as you have on them. Their address, their phone number, their email, multiple emails, because you can email over ham radio, right? But that assumes that they have some kind of connection. Like, right. If we're all powered down,
right,
then the reality of the logistics of that would be is that I'd have to like talk to somebody in Irvine that was so inclined to actually go over to that house and be like, hey, I talked to somebody on the radio. He talked to somebody else and said, your family member, blah, 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 is okay. Or they need help, or they need this, or they need that.
So like in the scenarios where hams were helping people in natural disasters and they were, you know, basically the, like a switchboard operator.
Kind almost, of, yeah.
Right?
Kind of.
I'm guessing then they were set up in a government organized area where people could come.
A really easy example is like Costa Rica when they had their massive damage from, what was it, hurricane? I think it was. Mm-hmm. It took out all the repeaters. So one of the first things the hams did was they'd get one of the repeaters back up, and then they'd build out like another repeater and another repeater and another repeater. What that allowed them to do was the hams that were set up in the hospitals, they'd set up the hams on like, they'd get the antennas on the roof of the hospital.
Oh, so they were actually at the hospital.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then
would you do that?
Sure, in some cases, yeah. And then they would broker traffic between the hospitals via the repeaters.
Huh, interesting.
Now, for the health and wellness, getting the information out of Costa Rica, so that was hams on HF. Mm-hmm. In Costa Rica that were communicating to hams in the mainland. The hams in the mainland then were able to use their phones to contact the family and let them know they were okay.
Oh, interesting.
So that they were, so a lot of the stuff that I've talked about in emergencies is being interoperable with comms.
Right.
It's not just 2 meter, we're making the call over handy talkies. It's getting your signal out of the disaster area so that the person outside the disaster area with their phone, internet, email, all that stuff can complete the other end of the conversation.
Okay.
Right? So it's a layered preparedness, lots of redundancy that goes into all the thinking, if you will.
Okay. So in a disaster situation, then somebody wouldn't necessarily be coming to knock on our door because there was an antenna on a roof. They would go to like City Hall or something to get aid.
Yeah. So if you're talking like total grid down, like you used Irvine.
Yeah.
Irvine's likely dealing with whatever we're dealing with.
Right.
Right. If it's that bad. Mm-hmm. They're not trying, unless it's like straight up, I want to try and find my family.
Yes.
I don't know that like, maybe City Hall would be set up for that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think the city necessarily has plans for that kind of thing, where they're going to set up a health and wellness station.
I think they're required to.
What do you mean?
I think the cities are required to have emergency, like, response and...
Yeah, but that's assuming... Okay, that's assuming that Irvine also has something like that.
For sure, Irvine does. They are a master planned community where everything is controlled.
Jesus. Okay, so let's say in that case, like something like that gets set up. Then yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Would you leave the house to go assist in helping
we're talking
this?
About like a mile down the road.
Yeah.
I could ride my bike over there.
Yeah. Just leave me and the kids home alone.
Okay. Again, with the gotcha questions. Jeez.
I'm saying
one could do that.
No, I guess what I'm getting at is...
Is this more a question of what radio you should buy or what I'm going to do as a person? I think this has turned into a bit of me.
I think, no, not just you, but by and large, how would hams respond? Are the ones that go to assist, are they major heroes? Or is it just kind of an assumed thing if you're a ham that in an emergency you're going to go help, you're going to pitch in?
I assume the ones that... can would help. I
want to know. I want to know from our listeners, what would you do?
Okay. Email Leia at hamtactical.com.
Yeah, or leave it in a 5-star review.
There you go. Leave it in a 5-star review.
Either way, I'm curious if you've been in an emergency situation as a ham, what did you do? Or if you were to be in an emergency situation,
I feel like you would have to have a very serious disaster for that to happen.
Well, what about Katrina?
Yeah, that would be an example.
Don't we have 3 hurricanes coming through the U.S. right now?
Sure. That has its own problems, though, right? Because Katrina caused a situation where you've got water everywhere. It's kind of hard to run ham radio.
That is how hurricane do.
But like it wasn't necessarily the hurricane. It was the levee breaking, right? It was the levees that caused the massive flooding.
I don't think it's unusual for power to go out.
The power is not one of the major factors. Like we focused on earthquakes. That's what we deal with. But
yeah.
Power loss is kind of like a thing that can just happen. But when you start talking about like a major disaster with like flooding as well, like that also gets kind of difficult to set radios up in that environment.
Okay.
So you could set up a health and wellness station, but where would it be? Everything's under 3 feet of water.
Under a raft or on top under of a raft. On top of a raft.
Complaints department. Leave your comments under the raft. I mean, I don't know. There's so many logistics questions that go into that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, the second floor of my home is now the first floor of my home, and that's where I will take people looking for health and wellness. Their health and wellness is, hey, man, you got any food and water I can drink? It's not, what's my, you know, I want to check on my mom. I mean, I'm sure they cared about that, but... largely for them is they're not trying to subsist in that environment. They're trying to leave that environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't necessarily like, hold on, before I go, I got to find a ham in this flooded area.
Okay.
You would leave the flooded area. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So your example is fine when you're talking about Cerritos to Irvine, you know, whatever comms.
Yeah.
It's possible that we could have a repeater that could do that. It's like on solar power or something like that. That mm-hmm. would make that a lot easier. But yeah, generally you could operate through something like FEMA or the local CERT program or something like that. I mean, I am a member of the local CERT program. So do I think they're going to call me up? Probably not. But if it was that bad where there's no comms, then I'm probably better off than most people.
I thought they did start to mobilize CERT at the beginning of COVID.
They did. It was really funny. They had a big call in and we all got together and they were like, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but stay tuned. Okay. Yeah. So
now we're just all staying inside wearing masks.
I don't wear a mask inside.
I mean, outside.
Yeah.
Mass outside. Inside.
So I didn't answer specifically like your... I guess I did talk about the FT2DR and some other radios, but it's really more of the concept of like what types of radios, right? Because the thing that I always like to remind people when it comes to radios, like this is like the best time to be alive for ham radio. The radios are like
the golden age of ham radio.
Well, no, the golden age already happened, right?
This is the platinum age.
Yeah, the chromium,
the diamond age,
the palladium, platinum.
I said platinum.
Titanium. Tungsten.
Silicone. No.
In that, like, everything is, like, really good. All the manufacturers make really good radios. And there are, whatever type of radio you're looking for, there is a radio that fits that. Like, you can get just about anything you want. Mm-hmm. And almost any price point for a lot of people. So I didn't really throw out a lot of brands or models because it doesn't really matter. Like, just...
Really?
It does if you're, like, really want to geek out on the stuff. But if you're preparing for a disaster, sometimes it's just a lot better to have four relatively inexpensive radios that you have all programmed the same, that you hand out to your buddies, and mm-hmm. you say, keep it programmed, you know, uniformly.
Yeah.
Right? That kind of thing. So those are kind of my thoughts. So.
Great. Yeah.
Well, that has been another episode of the Ham Radio Crash Course. If you are so inclined, please give us a review over on iTunes. We love those 5-star reviews. Thank you so much for doing that. Subscribe on the YouTube. Check out hamtactical.com and email leah@hamtactical.com if you have any emails you'd like to send. Leah, anything you have to say?
No, that's pretty concise.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until we talk to you again, thanks for listening, and 73.
73.